Student loan forgiveness is in legal limbo, and now the scammers are out. We're going to talk about it coming up on the show next.
From the streets of San Antonio straight to your wallet, it's Jake's Two Cents on Jake of All Trades.
All right, welcome back. My name is Kirk, and I'm not a financial expert.
And I'm Jake. I am the financial expert. But together, Kirk and I talk about financial planning, we talk about the economy, and we review financial articles, all with the express purpose of helping our listeners build wealth, both today and into the future.
And today, we're going to be talking about student loan non-forgiveness, because we did a show on student loan forgiveness. And everyone was pretty convinced it was happening because it was passed. And in fact, we've discovered that it was passed. A few people might have even gotten some money already. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But then the whole thing got overturned in court. And now it is in what they're calling legal limbo. But it looks like it might not go through at all. Like it might just be overturned and that's it. And now I'll be honest, you know, legality is definitely not my purview. So I do not understand or know really the reasons it was overturned.
Right.
And that's not really what this, that's not really what this show is about. So like part of what has to happen with the personal finance show and what you're, is you're often making decisions with imperfect knowledge, right? And you're trying to make it like you're not a legal expert. You could read articles about it. Same thing, like we're not a legislative expert. So, you know, in the past we commented on student loan forgiveness on multiple occasions. Early on, we commented on a show where we said, you know, it's proposed, but don't bank on it until it's actually passed, right? And then we said, well, it's passed, so you can bank on it in a sense, but and which I think is logical, but you know, you can't, right?
So now it turns out people can sue, right, to block this kind of legislation, even though it's passed,
which I guess I kind of, like I've known that's possible, like that's part of what the court system's for, is it's not just for this kind of, you know, I have a grievance against Jake, but you can do it against organizations, including the government and certain things that they pass. And in fact, I do know that that's a pretty common practice after some major, you know, after Obamacare was passed, there was a lot of lawsuits all over the place. And so, you know, I understand that that's part of the process of now everything's changed. There's this whole other system, which is the court system, which is a check on the legislative, just like the executive is a check on court and everything else, or court is on that. So all that's being said, I didn't know it was, I guess, if someone would have told me at the time this is possible, I would have said, yeah, okay. But
yeah, we probably would have mentioned that when we were on the show talking about how you need to submit your application because loan forgiveness is here.
Yeah. But it's, again, like the whole question of you're having to make financial decisions in these imperfect models and decision and like knowledge, which is an interesting part of what it means to live a life, I think, because you're often doing that where something changes and flips that you've been counting on for many years, or, you know, the business that you work at that makes money for you, it's shut down for a year. Like there's things like that, that you have that are just kind of unpredictable in life that you have to kind of try to figure out the best that you can. And, you know, so like what we wanted to talk about on this show today was, you know, what we understand happened for the loan forgiveness, you know, what it is and just a reminder of what it's not. So it wasn't complete loan forgiveness.
Right. It was a partial.
So it was never like you're just going to have, you know, $80,000 of debt forgiven. It was just you're going to get $10,000, right? Basically, $20,000 based on how much you made.
Right.
That did pass. It worked, but then it got overturned, yada yada.
It's been blocked, so nobody's getting money. Yeah. So, and they took down the website, so you can no longer apply. But there were some like 20 million applications for loan forgiveness that would. Yeah. That had been submitted. So I think there's an emotional aspect to this too, because people have been in limbo with student loans since the beginning of the pandemic, because part of the relief was they suspended payments. And so you probably haven't been making payments on them, and they suspended interest. And so we've been stuck here, like, what's going to happen? What is the fate? And then all of a sudden, we felt like we had a little bit of clarity as far as some relief. And now the unfortunate thing with the timing of this, I think, is that student loan repayments are supposed to resume in January. And so people who have been, you know, not having to make payments and then had this sort of reprieve of thinking I was going to get a little bit of forgiveness are now back to square one. Like, all right, well, I guess January I'm going to have to resume payments just like I was making almost 3 years ago.
Yeah. At a time of recession and inflation and job loss.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So it's at a time when a lot of people are losing their jobs. You know, a lot of, if you look at tech, like tech is going haywire. A lot of people are losing high paying jobs, which means they're going to be relying on savings for possibly a while. Cause I don't know if it's going to be easy for everybody to just find a new job right away. It might take some time for them to find a job in this market. I mean, it's difficult. So that's, I mean, that's a lot of what's happening right now that people have to, that you might, you know, listener might have to think about. What are you going to do in this situation? You know, can you defer the payments for a little while longer while you try to get back on your feet? Or can you, do you just go right back into paying into it again, which is probably the, if you can do that, do that.
Yeah, because you want to protect your credit, right? So the downside of, you know, not resuming payments, we've talked about that before, it hurts your credit. So you want to be careful with something that. Yeah. But, you know, I don't think it's out of the question that they may kick the can down the road from a repayment resumption perspective.
But don't count on that at this point.
Don't count on it, but, you know, stranger things have happened, right?
Yeah.
So the other thing that's happening right now is there are now scammers, obviously, capitalizing on the vagueness of the student loan forgiveness plan by contacting borrowers, using common words that sound legit, like President Biden's forgiveness program and the application process and blah, blah, blah. But instead, they're just stealing your information. So those are going to be on the rise as well. And you have to be really careful about that when you receive those. Because I've already received some calls that say, you know, the voicemail left for me is, I have very important information. You may qualify for some forgiveness. Give us a call. And so that that doesn't sound, you know, that's forgiveness, right? So I want that. I want to be part of that.
Yeah.
If it's available, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not available. And the pernicious thing here is like, so it, people could, so if someone called me, they could potentially convince me that I still had some student loans out there. Right. I think this is the issue that a lot of us might run into if we took out loans at all, is that, especially if you're not good with it, like I'm not, I wasn't, is that I wasn't really 100% aware where all my loans were and how much I really had. Like I was a little confused myself about what had happened to all of them over the years. Right.
Right. And sold and bought.
And yeah, exactly. And like, so, and like it was more than I had thought because there was interest, you know, on it. And I didn't, but I didn't know what it was because I had just ignored it. And I think that's a common thing. And so during, if, so like, if someone were to call me and be like, oh yeah, you still have forgiveness, or like, you know, they, I could have thought, oh, but I don't have forgiveness, but maybe they're talking about the 10,000 I could get back for what I just paid off. Right. Cause we talked about as somebody who had just paid off my student loans, I might qualify for getting 10,000 back or some
like
portion
a refund
of,
back,
a refund on what I paid. That was a possibility. And so they might convince me of that, like they of, or that I was do something. And if I'm not careful in the way that I word my answers to them, you know, I could do that. And so like, you know, I just wanted to make sure we went over a couple of generic scamming advice on scammers in general. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the ones that I always do is you should just be on the premise of being reluctant to give out your information to anybody.
Yes.
I never would give it out. I would never give out any information from someone who calls in to me. Like correct. I would want I'd say, okay, give me the phone number. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to make sure. And then I'm going to call you back. Like that's all, because I want to call them and I want to confirm that this is the U.S. Department of Finance or whatever it is, to education. And I want to like say, okay, so this is the number for that. I was like, hey, did you call me? Do you have on your records? And if they say no, and you know, like, so yeah, I want
to. That's a great way to check. Yeah, absolutely. So that, you know, and don't give out that information. The other thing is what you brought up about if you're unsure if you might have other student loans out there.
Yeah.
There's a repository to check that through fedloan.gov, I believe, the website where you fill out your FAFSA and stuff. You can go there, put in your social security number, and it will give you a list of your outstanding loans. So that's a good check, because remember their incentive. Whoever's contacting you has an incentive. And so if it sounds like it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah.
So you need to do your own due diligence first to make sure you're aware of what you owe before somebody can forgive anything.
Yeah. So I think you should do your due diligence before you give out any information, because often what they'll do, and you know, I got this several times, and don't be afraid of, you know, if it's the real Department of Education and they're really calling you, then you shouldn't be afraid of, like, they shouldn't be mad that you're double checking and confirming.
Right.
Like, and so like if someone from the called me and said, is this Kirk Barbera? We need you to confirm your Social Security. That's one thing that they will say. Now they don't say that as much as scammers do. Like they'll usually, but they have done that, and I did confirm it was them. And that's the thing that I'm always nervous about, is like they call me with my name and then they ask me to confirm that it's me before I like, and I was like, no, but you call me, dude. I'm not calling you. What are you talking about? I'm not going to confirm because you have my name, anything like that. And right. I don't know if you've ever received that, but I've received that more than once where they, you know, like they, now the thing is that there's a legitimate thing where they do have to confirm in real life, like the real Department of Education has to confirm your social and all that stuff before
they can speak with you.
They can speak with you, but you need normally, to confirm with them that they're the Department of Education.
Right. Like normally they're not initiating that initial contact to you.
They have before that with me.
You to confirm.
Yeah. But so there does happen.
And it was though. Legit. It was.
Yeah.
Legit.
So like it wasn't Department of Education. It was one of the holders of the debt that I had. Right. Okay. And so it was a debt collector really. And okay. And so, yeah, they will call you, but they also have laws that make it so they have to get confirmation that it's you before they go into your account with you.
Right, right.
And so it's a weird dynamic when they call you and ask you to confirm who you are. It's like, but you call me, bro. I'm not. So like what I do, and my, you know, again, my advice is just be on the defensive, be skeptical, even if you think it's true. Like I thought it was, yeah, this is probably legit. But I'm still skeptical. And so I was like, all right, give me the number. Let me check. Let me call. Let me do the fedloan.gov. Let me see what's going on. And then I'm going to call. And then I found out, okay, yeah, they did call because, you know, they're following up on their debt. Okay, fine. That's different. Then I confirmed who I was. But I just think like when it like comes to giving out your information, like just be skeptical of everybody.
Very skeptical. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like do not give it out. And if somebody is mad or doesn't understand, then talk to their manager, get somebody else. Like it's your money. It's your life. Like take care of yourself. That's the important lesson here. Mm-hmm. I think.
Absolutely. Agreed. I think maybe the last thing is I think this probably weighs on sentiment a little bit. Right. And so I feel like people who got their hopes up for something of benefit from the federal government in this perspective are probably very let down, right? Because they just feel like pawns in a game. And I don't know what kind of,
they are pawns in a game.
They are, yeah.
We're just pawns in the politicians' game.
You know, I don't know how to really give advice on that other than, you know, acknowledging the reality of the situation. And kind of like, I like what you said about trying to make financial decisions with imperfect information. Don't fault yourself for, you know, getting your hopes up for something because it seemed legitimate, right? So, but don't let that sort of cloud your judgment moving forward, right? You still have the debt. This isn't the now going to be the excuse to say, well, just forget about it. Just, I'm just going to let it ruin my financial life because I don't want to deal with it anymore.
That's what I did.
Be careful by by taking that path. Yeah. I know that can be tempting because you're frustrated.
Yeah.
But think of the alternate, the, like the consequences of doing so.
No, that's a good, I mean, that's really good advice because I think it's, again, like I said, it's what I did in a sense. Like I just said, forget it. I'm going to focus on myself and growing my finances. Now, I think at the end of the day, though, so from a personal, you're talking about like, what kind of advice can you give in this situation? Mm-hmm. From a personal finance situation, I don't think there's any advice you could do except or give or think about for yourself as a listener, except to say that, you know, again, at the end of the day, you really should be cautious about relying on anyone else taking care of your finances other than you. So, right, like maybe someone will come and help you, maybe. And that's nice when someone does. And that's a windfall at best. And that's how you should think of it. But at the end of the day, you need to think about how to get out of your own financial situation, how to, you know, if you need to look for a new career, a new job, new training, it's not easy. We don't like it. I had to do it. Like, it's just the way it is, right? And, mm-hmm. You know, making smarter financial decisions, living within your means, you know, making sure you pay yourself first and then you know, pay a little bit, save a little bit, no matter how much you have to, you know, give up on the big vacations. Don't buy a big new car. Controversial advice by a mega billionaire recently. If you saw that, Jeff Bezos was like, this is not the time to buy a big ticket item.
To buy big ticket items. Yeah.
Which he's probably kind of correct. Like, just be careful at least. But I think a lot of people resented coming from a guy who bought one of the most expensive yachts on the planet just recently. so expensive that they had to like disassemble a bridge in Norway or something.
That's right. Get it under, right?
Yeah, to get it under. And it's like, don't buy big ticket items, bro. It's like, all right, dude. That's even crazy. If you're right, I don't think people appreciate coming from him.
Probably shouldn't come from you.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's...
I think that's a good point. That's really good
advice. But at the end of the day, you have to take care of your own stuff. These are... And this is something we said, like, from the very beginning of the loan forgiveness discussion is, you know, it's nice if it happens, but you need to take care of your own self. You're still... It's not full... it was never full forgiveness. So you would still, if you, you know, unless you only had 10,000 in loans, you would still have to pay something back. So work toward that and get out of the financial. Also, you know, the government sucks. I've been saying it from the beginning. This is my reasoning why the government sucks. That's my bow.
When we first started this show, I used to push back so much more. And now just like evidence just presents itself to like make a case for Kirk's anti-government sentiment like all the time. Yeah.
I mean,
how can I argue with that?
It's difficult. But yeah, I mean, like, I think it's, and I think, you mentioned, and this is all pure opinion right here. And I'm not talking about the government in general, but the loan forgiveness issue of like, maybe it'll get overturned. Maybe, but there's a lot of things moving against it now, like in politics. Correct. And so, you know, I don't want to get into the politics of it all, but you know, with what's happening as we're recording this with like the midterm elections and even though it was kind of, it looks like it's even in the House and which wasn't expected if you were reading the news, but nevertheless, that there's going to be battles and this thing is probably not going to be at the forefront. This loan forgiveness issue is probably not going to be the hill that anybody's going to die on right now of like getting people $10,000 of loan. Like it just doesn't seem to have the steam. Yeah. Other things are on people's political purview right now.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look good. I could be wrong. I mean, maybe someone will come in and they'll say like in 2024, you elect me and this will be one of the issues. That's possible, but it just doesn't look likely. That there just doesn't seem the political steam around this issue. There's other issues that are full of fire right now.
I think that's fair to say. There are other issues.
So now I could be wrong again. I mean, again, it's politics. So who knows? They just make it up as they go.
Just take care of yourself.
Take care of yourself.
Your own finances, you know, and take that responsibility and
yeah.
only treat things like this as windfalls.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. And then hopefully it'll happen. And I mean, a lot of things can happen. You could inherit $1 billion from a secret, you know, admirer. Who knows? Like,
oh, still holding out for that. Yeah.
Yeah, you never know. Someone just like watching the show, like, I want to give Jake $1 billion when I die. It's possible. It's happened before. You never know.
Before.
But don't count on it. Don't be like waiting around for $1 billion to fall into your lap.
Right. Exactly.
Or the $10,000 loan forgiveness to be handed out to you.
Yep.
You know, and we were, you know, this is like one of the two or three times when we were kind of wrong in a sense, although we weren't wrong. Like the question, were we really wrong? So we've done a show in the past, like the 5-year anniversary. Yeah. We're like, so we were technically wrong because we, you know, we said you will get this because
this is happening. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It's not happening. So in that but sense,
again, we made decisions with imperfect information.
But was it? Like, that's the thing. It's like, so it, because all the news and everyone was saying, you know, like when you're reading about this, all the experts were talking about it as though it was passed and here's what to do.
Right.
And so, including us. And, you know, that, I mean, this is where it becomes difficult in terms of like giving out and taking advice. I think this is the broader, another big lesson for all of us is even, you know, no matter how much of an expert someone is, personal finance is personal. And
yes.
You can listen to advice and maybe that person's correct and you could try to, you know, they could help you in that direction. But I mean, like, I'm sure there are CFPs out there who are talking to people about what to do with their loan forgiveness, giving advice, like personal on the phone, like, oh yeah, let's do this. Let's do, and let's rearrange your finances a little bit. And it's like, well, they were wrong in a sense because, and they were the experts, but again, you can't, like, nobody knew that you could, like, I mean, people knew that this was possible, but we didn't know how likely it was or how relevant it was. Good. And there's just no way of doing that. So, you know, I think we were trying to be cautious, but what do you think?
I agree. I don't think we made the wrong decision because the information we had was supported what we were advising to do. Right. Yeah. So, and then the scenario, the environment has changed. And so much like everything else, you have to adjust. And so that's what we're doing now. And I think using it as a way to learn too about, you know, your own skepticism and being cautious about promises from the government.
Yeah.
And putting your own situation, you know, like making sure that if this happens or it doesn't happen, I'm in a really good position because I have created my own contingencies of savings and debt management and et cetera, that doesn't rely on or isn't contingent upon some external factor helping me out.
Yeah. The lesson maybe is the same lesson of don't put all your eggs in one basket in a sense.
Yes.
Is because it essentially, and which is what we've always talked about. So I think in a certain context, we're always trying to give guidance on how to deal with these external factors that you don't have control over. Right. And some of that guidance is like something good might happen and that you want to plan, you know, and when that does happen, here's what to do. And we gave advice on that. But I guess the flip side of that is something good could be promised to you and then not happen. And so you could start making plans for stuff and then it doesn't happen. Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is one of the reasons why we don't give stock tips specifically, but we always say like, you know, but that doesn't mean we don't say you shouldn't have investments. I mean, you should have investments. Right. You just need to make sure that you're looking at the right ones and maybe don't put all of your money into FTX. Right. Yeah. Like that's kind of, and like, even if you do have a lot, so that's a promise that was made where a lot of people made a lot of money in it. On paper, but they didn't actually have any money. It was a promise made that wasn't fulfilled. Right. Yep. And that's the same thing. So it's in the sense of like people thought they were making all this money and it's not there. And it's the same thing. Like I thought I was going to get $10,000, but I'm not.
Yeah. And
that's just part of how life works. Sometimes, you know, you sometimes,
unfortunately.
Yeah. Like you know, good things will be promised and sometimes they'll come through and sometimes they won't.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, that wraps up this episode of Jake of All Trades. Be sure to check us out on social media by searching for @Jake's2Cents and check out the blog at jakes2cents.com. Take care. We'll see you next time.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC. A registered investment advisor. Fixed insurance products and services offered through CES Insurance Agency. Actual performance and results will vary. These interviews do not constitute a recommendation as to the suitability of any investment for any person or persons having circumstances similar to those portrayed. Consult a financial advisor regarding your specific circumstances.